wonderful to see everybody gathered together for our worship service. Always wonderful to have the choir bring us into worship as we are standing before God and we are in the midst of Jesus' presence. We'd like to welcome everybody to Flat Springs Baptist Church. And if you are a guest with us, we are excited you have chosen to worship here together with all of us this morning. And we have a way to hopefully share a little bit of information about ourselves, as we would like to get some information about you. And the best way to do that is to fill out the guest card that is located in front of you and put that in the offering plate. And when that comes around, we'll be able to have some information about ourselves and share how God has been at work in our midst as well. This week I've been remembering a verse in Psalms that I believe is very appropriate as we are in worship this morning before God, experiencing His love. Psalm 136:4 says, "To Him who alone does great wonders, His love endures forever." How powerful of a reminder that God's love will always endure, and His great wonders can be worked through us as His love empowers us. So let's pray this morning in recognition of that. God, we thank You for Your love that lives through us and transforms us. And God, we are praying for that to occur this morning as we worship You, as we sit before Your throne, and as we acknowledge who You are, how You've created us and You've given us new life through Your Son, Jesus. God, guide us this week as we have so many things that may lay before us. We want to approach them all with grace and love as Your Son guides. Give us now ears to hear and a heart that's open. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Okay, if you'll all stand and sing our opening hymn, page 293. And this is one where Leonard Harris would say, make sure your dentures are in. This one gets along. If you stay too hard reading the words, you're going to be two measures behind. So here we go.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this wonderful day You've given us to come into Your house and hear Your word. Father, we ask that You might make us bold to go out and be the church that Deep River community needs us to be. Father, we ask that You bless these offerings and these tithes to further Thy kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
everybody see what I have in my hand. Right? What is this? It's a crown. It's a paper crown. That's right. Now imagine it was a gold crown, right? That's why I used the yellow paper. I was trying to make it gold. A gold crown. Who wears a crown? Kings, even queens, right? You might see them wearing a crown. I think that would be pretty neat, actually. There's a teacher at Lauren's school that has a crown that she lets one of her students wear during the day when it's their birthday. And that person gets to wear a crown, and they're first in line when they walk somewhere. They get to take the attendance folder to the office. They get to eat their lunch first. They love to wear a crown. They get all the special treatment throughout the day as a king or queen. And as you might think, kings or queens have servants, people that do things for them, serve them, and take care of their every need, right? You might have seen that in movies before. So let me ask you, if you could be a king or a queen, would you want to? Yeah? If you could be a king or a queen, you might think that would be pretty neat, I would think. I see a lot of yeses. Now let me ask you this. If you had the option between being a king or a queen or a servant of a king, might be a little more of a difficult question to answer, right? Before you answer, let me read you one verse, thinking about a king and then thinking about servants. Because Jesus tells us in one verse something that you might not be expecting when you read Mark chapter 9, verse 35. Listen to what Jesus says, and he's telling his disciples this, okay? That means he's telling us as well. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12, that means the disciples, and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." That's kind of strange to think about, right? Jesus wants us to serve everybody. Jesus alone is king, and we are supposed to serve everyone as he did. And that means we're supposed to love everybody just like he loves everybody, by helping them when they need help, telling them about Jesus, and making sure we're taking care of all of their needs. Because Jesus served all of us by dying on the cross, the most perfect way to serve us. And he did that and showed his love for us. So now he wants us, and that's why he's telling us to serve everyone, to love everybody the way that he loves everybody, so everyone can know about Jesus. So remember that this week when you're praying in your prayers with your family how to pray to serve other people. Let's pray about that now. God, thank you so much for the way you teach us through your Son, Jesus Christ, how to serve and love other people like you do. Show us how to do that this week. Amen. See y'all next week.
Okay, page 644, count your blessings.
Lunette was scheduled to sing for us today, and she has a sore throat and is unable to be here. And don't worry, I'm not going to try to sing this morning. It's all good. Amen. Amen. So let me ask you to look at our prayer concerns. I am going to pray, though. That's within my expertise, I do believe. So you'll notice the name of Caroline Allen. We appreciate Brad filling in for us today. Jimmy and Caroline were supposed to be with their children in Shenandoah Valley at a family vacation. And Caroline is at Western Wake, having undergone gallbladder surgery this past Friday, about 9 o'clock Friday evening. And she is still at the hospital. They're hopeful that maybe today she'll be going home, but we want to keep Caroline lifted up. Also, you see the next name there is Billy Angel. That is Rebecca Gaines' brother, who had quadruple bypass surgery this past Friday after suffering a heart attack. We want to keep Billy in our prayers. He is doing well, and we just want to keep him lifted up. You also see down our list other names, all valuable and important to God and to us, but some with special things. Don Ray Keith will be having surgery this Thursday. My daughter Melissa is to be having surgery this Tuesday, and my wife's supposed to be going to stay with her. So you can see where we're in a little bit of a quandary there. Be praying for us. And then Atlas Phillips is still in the hospital. Atlas and Betsy were in the hospital. Betsy is out, and we're hopeful that possibly today Atlas could be coming home. But there is a possibility of an aorta valve replacement that we want to be praying about with Atlas in a very special way. And then one name I'd like to add to our prayer list is that of Debbie Seal, who fell and broke her hip this past week and is at Moore County in the hospital as well.
Let's pray.
God, we're here again, and you're here, and that changes everything. And Lord, there may be some things that we have come into the worship center today with that need to be changed. And you're willing, and you're able to make those changes. Help us to be willing to allow you to make those changes. Lord, we have many that we pray for regularly. There are many on this prayer list that we lift up every day, numerous times a day. Those that are dealing with chronic illness. And then today we have mentioned some that have had some acute things, some rapid things to happen in their life, or going to happen in their life. And we lift them to your care. And God, we don't come to advise you. That would be silly. We don't come to really even suggest what ought to be done, as you are sovereign. But we come as faithful people because you invited us. You taught us. You challenge us. God, you command us to come and lift these names before you. And you've told us there's power in prayer. And so, God, we lift this entire prayer list to you right now and ask for your blessing. Ask for you to do in the lives of these that we have mentioned what only you can. And God, use us as instruments of your grace and of your mercy. And now, God, as we look at a story that many of us learned when we were so small, we might not even remember a time when we didn't know it. The story we call the Good Samaritan. Help us to examine how we live our life, what kind of human being we are, what kind of neighbor we are, what kind of follower of you we are. In Jesus' name we ask.
The Good Samaritan poem, based on the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37. Beside a narrow roadside ditch, a man lay there without a stitch. He'd been attacked by ruthless goons, and dogs came there to lick his wounds. And many people passed him by, but no one stopped to hear his cries. They made excuses, everyone, and some called him a drunken bum. But there was one who knew his pain, a person treated with disdain. His country was Samaria, which gave the Jews hysteria. He too had once been down and out, and all the people round about ignored his cries for charity, a virtue, for virtue was a rarity. He stopped to see what he could do, and then before it was all through, he gave the shirt from off his back and made sure the man would never lack. He took the man into an inn to find some help for him within, and for his keep he paid his way so he would have a place to stay. So who's my neighbor, we may ask, while in our comfort zone we bask? It's anyone with hurt and grief who looks to us for some relief.
Thank you, Laura. The Good Samaritan. If you have your Bibles open to Luke chapter 10, we're going to actually read the questions that precede the story as we look at verse 25. But before we get there, I think it's very interesting to note something. It's over in chapter 9 of Luke's Gospel. It's in verse 51 through 56 in your text. It says, "And when the days drew near for him, he was taken to go to Jerusalem. He sent messengers ahead of him, and he went into a village of the Samaritans to make preparation for him. But the people did not receive him." You ever read that in connection to what I'm fixing to read when we get to our text? Jesus was going to go to Samaria, and the Samaritans said, "We don't want him. We don't want him." Interesting. Just put that away wherever it can go. And then here Jesus, in the next chapter, almost in the next breath, give us a teaching. And look who he makes as his hero. Luke chapter 10. We're going to begin to read in verse 25, and we're going to read through verse 37. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word? "And behold, a lawyer," which would have been a teacher of the law of Moses, "stood and put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What can I do to go to heaven? What can I do to avoid all the problems of the afterlife?' And he, being Jesus, said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he, the lawyer, answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he, Jesus, said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live eternally.'" But that was the setup question the lawyer had. Verse 29. "But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied." He told a parable. "A man was going down to Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place, he saw him, and he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he set him on his own animal, and he brought him to an inn to take care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.'" Jesus asked this question in verse 36. "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" And he said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go, and you do likewise. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us clearly for a moment or two this morning, that we might be prepared to first answer the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And how am I loving you with all? And how am I loving my neighbor as myself? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Jesus told some wonderful parables. The fact in this parable is there's a little bit of us or a little bit of these guys, the robbers, the priest and the Levite, and the Samaritan. There's a little bit of that in all of us. I've learned by now that none of us fit neatly into boxes. So in this day and time, who's our neighbor? Is skin color what should determine our neighbor? Is religious understandings? I can remember a time, and maybe some of you are old enough too, when the biggest crisis that a Baptist mom and dad might have to face would be if their daughter started dating a Methodist. That could be tragic. Boy, we've moved a long way from that place, haven't we? I want to suggest that Jesus, in his wisdom, and this being one of his most famous parables that folks in and out of the church know, he gives us at least three understandings of what might motivate us to know our neighbor, to love everyone, regardless of their skin color, regardless of their political choices, regardless of whether they're a good neighbor back. Because Jesus was just rejected by the Samaritans and yet makes the Samaritan his hero. Well, the first philosophy is the one that I think most of us have the least of. I'm going to make sure I said that correctly. Some of you might be listening. Well, maybe not, but in any event, this is the one I hope that most of us have the least amount, and this is the one that we need to be battling the hardest. It's the philosophy of the robbers, the thieves, the ones who beat up the man and took what he had. Well, if I were to define their philosophy, it would be this: what is yours is mine, and I'll take it. What's yours is mine, and I'll take it. If I'm smarter than you, I'll take it. If I have a better place in life, I'll take it. If I'm stronger than you, I'll take it. Think about all of your relationships. Oh, most of us, I think all of us, don't go and beat people up and take their stuff. If you are that kind of person, I need to talk to you immediately following church today. But what about in our family? Do we sometimes take things from our spouse, or from our children, or from our parents? It is that idea of being in contempt. It's the philosophy of the, the Christian world. And sometimes this attitude of if I can have, if you need something, I'm not necessarily going to give it. In fact, if you've got something, I might just take it from you. It's kind of the way the world thinks. I don't say a lot of political stuff very often, but let me dare for just a moment. The problem with the folks that are undocumented in our nation today is because some people knew they could take from them and get labor cheaper than they could any other way. So now we've got a problem. Well, that's all I'm going to say about that. I offer no solution. But I tell you, our country is a dog-eat-dog world. We call it, used to call it that rugged individualism. You know John Wayne? John Wayne, who could walk in and clean the bar out with his fist or with his pistol. Well, we always made him wear a white hat. You of the old cowboys know the difference between the white hat and the black hat. But in it, there's a lesson, because when you really begin to analyze even some of the philosophies we were teaching in our age of innocence with television, was beginning to get self-centered lessons. Do we really love our neighbor? Let me ask it this way. Are we taking heaven away from our neighbors? Are we taking eternal life away from our neighbors? Well, if you're like me, your first answer is, of course not. Absolutely not. We would never, ever do that. A little girl was visiting a friend and spending the night. And it was time to eat. And the mom asked before, she said, honey, do you love broccoli? And she answered, oh, yes, I love broccoli. So the mother decided to fix broccoli. And so she fixed broccoli. And when they passed the broccoli around to serve your plate, the little girl passed it on by. And the mom said, honey, I thought you said you loved broccoli. She said, oh, I do. Just not enough to eat any of it, though. Do we love our neighbor? Oh, of course we do. But do we love them enough to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is the only way to heaven and their only hope of eternal life? Are we like the robbers, that we have taken something from someone, maybe because we don't see them, they're not like us, we don't like them? The second philosophy is that I think I fall in most often. And that's what I call the state of confusion. Folks sometimes ask me what state I'm from. Don't get ahead of me. And I say often from the state of confusion. But that was the problem with the priest and the Levite. You know, Jesus was telling this story to one who was, we would call him a scribe. He was the one who wrote down the law. He was a highly educated man. He worked every day with priests and Levites. And so the story was very pointed to him. And we sometimes overanalyze the story of why this was the preacher and the deacon, if we could get it in Baptist life, okay? This was the pastor and the chairman of the deacons. A Sunday school teacher, whoever you want to put in there. And with no real explanation, Jesus just simply says, they saw the man and they passed by on the other side. They didn't do anything wrong. They didn't throw the man in a ditch. They didn't hit the man. They didn't hurt the man. They simply walked by him. We might ask why. Well, there are a lot of reasons. Some said that maybe they were on their way to do their duty at the temple and they would be unclean. And at that time you would travel to and from. I'm not going to get into all of that. I don't know why. But you know, I don't know sometimes when I walk by people. Do you? I don't know why. When I see someone who has a tremendous need, I just seem to find a way around them. Oh, I don't say anything mean. Well, the listeners probably were expecting something in the next story. They were expecting, this lawyer was probably thinking that Jesus would say, a carpenter came by, or a mason came by, or a storekeeper, a Jewish storekeeper came by. That's what he was hoping for. You see, this is right on the edge of what we believe and what we do. George Bernard Shaw said, the worst sin toward our fellow man is not to hate them, but to be indifferent toward them. That's the essence of inhumanity. Just ignoring them. And that's what we've done as church almost all of my ministry. We've had those moments when we've reached out and looked at the needs around us and we've tried, but it's hard. Israel had received all the blessings and used them inappropriately. They used them so inappropriately that when the Messiah came and stood in their midst, they couldn't see. Let me ask it another way. Is there a difference between attending church and being church? Is there a difference between being a church member and a sold-out follower of Jesus Christ who loves the Lord with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind? You know, sometimes I lay awake at night thinking what I might say on Sunday morning that would open the floodgates. And every member that hears my voice would walk down the aisle that Sunday and fall on their face before God and make life-changing commitments that would change their family and change their life and change their community and ultimately change our world. I'm still looking. And then, when I really need to finally get to sleep, I realize I can't say those words, but the Holy Spirit of God can. Jesus often, in fact, in all seven letters to the church in Revelation and elsewhere in his teachings would say, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Is there a difference between attending church and being the body of Jesus Christ? And what I believe is the difference is not commitment. I just think if everybody gave more and came more and supported more and did more, we'd be good. But then I began to think about Jesus. I've actually searched the scriptures, and somebody might go behind me and do a better job of searching and find out an answer. I don't know, but I haven't found one place in the scriptures where Jesus said, be committed. Isn't that interesting? But what I have discovered is Jesus often calls us to compassion. In fact, in the midst of this story, in verse 33, he says that when the Samaritan saw him, he had compassion. We began to look just at that word, and there are several other words that have the same meaning, mercy and grace. And I'm just looking at the word compassion as it's used in the New Testament. It's used often before Jesus would heal someone in Matthew 14:14, in Matthew 20:34, in Mark 1:41, in Mark 9:22. Each time before Jesus would heal a person, whether they were blind or a leper, it said he was moved with compassion. When he heard of a young dead man, he was moved with compassion in Luke 7:13. When he fed the people in Matthew 15:32 and Mark 8:2, he was moved with compassion. When it was time and he saw the multitudes and he knew they needed to be taught, they were sheep without a shepherd, it says he was moved with compassion in Matthew 9:36, in Mark 6:34. When he tells the stories, the parables of the debtor in Matthew 18, the Good Samaritan that we're reading today, and the prodigal son in Luke 15, compassion. Compassion. Jesus taught compassion. The Holy Spirit teaches compassion. To be compassionate on a person, whoever they are, to see them. You see the philosophy of that one like me. It says, what's mine is mine and I'll keep it. The robber says, what's yours is mine, I'll take it. The confused follower says, what's mine is mine and I'll keep it. I'll come to church every Sunday. I'll do whatever the spiritual things I have deemed necessary. Let me ask it this way. Did anybody ask you this week, what must they do to inherit eternal life? And don't quickly say, no, nobody asked me that. Maybe they did. Maybe they did. Maybe they shared a need with you. That had you been listening, had I been listening with the Spirit's ears, I would have heard, there's a spiritual need right there. And I've got a chance to give them the eternal life of Jesus Christ. Well, finally this morning, the third philosophy, the one I aspire to, the one I want you to aspire to, the one Jesus taught us, the one Jesus teaches us in this parable, the one Jesus taught us by his deeds. Listen to this philosophy. The robber says, what's yours is mine, I'll take it. The confused says, what's mine is mine, and I'll keep it. But the one who's moved with compassion says, what's mine belongs to God, and I'll give it. Hayden Robinson wrote these words, your neighbor is anyone whose need you see, whose need you're able to meet. A neighbor is someone who says, what is mine is God's, and what is God's belongs to my neighbor, because my neighbor belongs to God. That's a pretty big shift in thinking, isn't it? Who are the people that are our needy neighbors? Tony Campello, in his story, The Kingdom of God is a Party, told upon arriving at Honolulu in a red-eye flight, he went into, unknowing to him, a seedy part of town for a snack at 3:30 in the morning. And immediately he was followed by 9 prostitutes who were just getting off their night's work. And he overheard one talking to the other, and she said, tomorrow is my birthday. Her friend said, so what do you want me to do? You want me to make you a cake and sing happy birthday? The birthday girl protested, why do you have to be so mean? I was just telling you, that's all. Why do you have to put me down? Why should you give me a birthday party? I've never had a birthday party in my whole life. When they left, Campello said his heart was touched. He decided that tomorrow although it wasn't on his agenda, he was going to find his way back to that part of town, and he was going to throw a birthday party. He asked the guy in the bar where he had been getting his snack if he would help him, and in fact, he agreed to buy the cake. So the next day, when they all arrived back, the stunned girl was deeply touched when they began to sing Happy Birthday. And there was a cake and party hats and balloons. And Tony asked if he could offer a prayer. To which later the bartender remarked, "Hey, you never told me you were a preacher. What kind of church do you belong to?" Campello said, "I belong to a church that throws a birthday party for a prostitute at 3:30 in the morning." The bartender then sneered, "No, you don't. There are no churches like that. If there was one like that, I'd join it." And a man fell among thieves. And the pastor walked by. And the deacon walked by. And then the Samaritan. Maybe we would say the African American. Or the undocumented illegal alien walked by and saw his knee. Let me tell you what I believe. I believe that bartender was prophetic. Our choir sang beautifully, "People need the Lord." I want to add something else to that. People want the Lord. People want the Lord in their life. You can't convince me they don't. But they've been marred mostly by the world, putting a wrong shadow on who we are as God's people. And partly by us. We've been in that state of confusion. What God has blessed us with, we haven't given it as freely as He would have us to give it. This, Jesus says, is the right philosophy. What's mine belongs to God, and I'll give it to whosoever will, whoever God puts in my path. I wonder what the man who fell among thieves will look like this week. Whether he'll be someone down on their luck, or someone about to walk out of their marriage, or someone who is so confused with addiction and other problems in their life they don't know which way to turn. But this week, we who have an eye and an ear will see someone who needs the Lord, who needs to be lifted up by His grace and by His mercy, and need to hear His words from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they did." The robber, "What's yours is mine, I'll take it." Don't do that. The confused, "What's mine is mine, I'll keep it." Don't do that. Jesus, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Father, not my will, thy will be done. What's mine is God. And I'll give it as God gives me opportunity. And God help us see opportunity this week. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, would you for a moment now, as we examine our own life, Forgive us wherein we have failed. And Father, I know I have failed. I have seen people with Gary's eyes and not your eyes. I have met them with Gary's mind, not your mind. I have touched them with Gary's power, not your power. And today, oh God, I pray that you might give us a vision, that we might be the individual believers and we might be the church for people who need the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is page number 606, I Gave My Life for Thee. What a powerful hymn to remind us of how Christ is the Good Samaritan. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision about your life and living for Him, then today could be the day, should be the day, as we stand together and sing.
Some are gone from there, and I just cut this on, Donnie. I guess you saw me do that. Good. These are the things that we are doing to help the hungry and the homeless. It's a big emphasis our WMU is doing. I hope you'll pick up a copy. I think we're going to actually add some more things. Linda, I think wherever she is, she showed me that we're going to maybe add a few more things. But if you will pick these up, most of them are gone. But see how you can come alongside us that we might be Good Samaritans in this way to help those who have special needs. Again, I pray that as we leave this place, we will be so mindful of God's power in our life and His direction for our life that we will make a difference. I sense a fresh blowing of God's power in the midst of this congregation. I think God's up to something. I said that in a business meeting. I pray that as God stirs our hearts, that He will make it abundantly clear what He's up to, and He will direct us into that future. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, we're about to head out on the road between Jerusalem and Jericho. Help us to keep our eyes open. In Jesus' name, amen.